Conversations with Nikki is brought to you by studyapps.co.za, South Africa's leading education app for tablets. Well, welcome to Conversations with Nikki. Thank you very, very much for tuning in, for joining me. I love being in your company. It's really fab to be with you. I'd like to welcome our syndication partner listeners. That's Radio Today in Johannesburg. It's Eldo's FM in Johannesburg, Bay FM in PE, MC90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Nyzen FM, Wild Coast FM in East London, Timmining Stereo 89.1 in the Northern Cape, and Cowie FM in Port Alfred. And Conversations with Nikki is the show where we keep you entertained, informed, and inspired. Wow, overall heat wave happening around South Africa. And I've got to say, I'm loving it. Absolutely no complaints coming from me. And February, I suppose, is known for being a pretty hot season. It is also the month that is known for love and relationships because, of course, Valentine's Day. And whether you like to acknowledge it or not, it's also the month when our president addresses the nation. And this is the State of the Nation address, SONA. Now, this year, SONA promises to be very, very interesting. I'll tell you why. It kind of encapsulates the true meaning of February, which is love and which is politics. Because what's going to transpire at the State of the Nation address is going to be the relationship between Jacob Zuma and Julius Malema. We're going to be looking at the love affair between the two. I mean, it started so well. They were a formidable duo. Communication seemed pretty good. There was a certain amount of respect. You know, all the ingredients for a good relationship were there. But unfortunately, as it does happen, the honeymoon period ended. And there was a power struggle that ensued. And, of course, the relationship then hit a few rocky patches and then the inevitable breakup. So now, in the month of February, we're all waiting to see really the whole country and the entire world, the dirty laundry, which will be aired for all to see and for all to comment on. Now, it's going to be entertaining. So we decided for today's show to combine all these elements that are happening in the month of February, and that is love, and that is entertainment, and that is politics. So why don't you sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. So we're going to start off with South Africa's most famous white woman. We've had her on the show before. We love Tani Evita, and she always just brings so much color to the shows. Tani, are you there?
I am here, yes.
How are you, Tani?
Well, I'm very, very busy. You know, I have to stand at the door and everything red has to go into the dirt bin because we don't want anything red in Parliament tonight for obvious reasons, but otherwise I'm fine.
So, Tani, I mean, red is, you know, it's the color, it's love, it's passion, it's desire, it's everything. And as you say, in Parliament, who knows? I mean, will the EFF be wearing red or is it going to be the birthday suit? That's what the question we are all asking.
Well, I think if they walk in without clothes on, they will be the only political party truly transparent. And I don't know how the Speaker is going to sort out all those new honourable members who are rising to the occasion.
Oh, Tani, sorry, I just got carried away there. You know, my imagination ran away with me. Tani, I want to, before we go and we talk about the exciting time politically here in the country with the State of the Nation address, I'd like to talk about you. I mean, you have such an interesting story, and you married into the political Bazenho dynasty many, many years ago. And I believe when you started off, you were this demure wife. But over time, you became quite a force. You put together unbelievable dinner parties. You were brilliant in the kitchen. In the boardroom, you were to be reckoned with. And politically as well. So the question we're going to ask, because of course it is the month of relationships and love, is how did Oom Hasi handle this change in you? I mean, was he happy with the evolution taking place in his wife?
Well, you know, the secret is never to give I suppose give a secret away. The secret is to always be two steps behind him.
Oh.
I always had to be very careful not to argue or to have a better idea. But that's sometimes a happy marriage, because when everything is settled at the end of the day and the light switches off, and then you just snuggle up to the husband and you whisper into his ear, and before you know it, he thinks he thought about it first. And so it's been a give and take, but mainly I give in and Hasi took. But I'm quite happy. Yes, I am much more prominent now in the public eye than he is, but you must remember he's retired. He's on our a farm in Mpumalanga, in Lagerfontein. And Hasi, he watches TV and he likes what he sees sometimes. And of course, when my grandchildren come to visit, he looks at them and he thinks that they're the Garden Boys children because they're not white. And of course, they're not really the Garden Boys children, but my daughter Billie Jean did marry the son of the president of my homeland of Papeete Kosweti. So she married a very, very attractive young black man.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandchildren are not black, they're not white, they're Barack Obama beige.
Yeah. And how will you be celebrating Valentine's Day? Will you have the whole family, or is it just going to be something romantic?
I have no idea, because Valentine's Day is 20th on my list of priorities.
Oh,
at the moment.
Really?
Well, first of all, there's Parliament. There's the opening of Parliament. There's President Zuma's speech. Then there is the whole nightmare of getting the four first ladies to sit together, because they don't even talk together.
Mm.
They mustn't fall asleep, so I've promised them to take them off the Tim Noakes diet for a day and give them some nice cook sisters if they behave and stay awake. And I just really have my hands full. But even that's fine. And then when it is Valentine's Day, I'll phone Pip Boerta and I'll pretend to be somebody else, and he can guess who is saying to him, I'm your Valentine.
Now, Tani, I have heard a wonderful... I mean, you've put together a fabulous anthem. So not only is this a very busy time for you politically and building up, but, I mean, you've been getting artists together because you want your own State of the Nation address, and maybe you can expand, because I can't expand it as well as you can.
Well, I didn't do a State of the Nation. You can't if you're not the president. But I did 2 days ago to give my Luthuli housekeeping report to the Cape Town Press Club. Now, the Luthuli housekeeping report has been under embargo since 1996. In fact, it's a national key point. But I did convince Gwede Mantashe at Luthuli House to give me a chance to just be transparent, because I am now a member of the African National Congress. But I don't speak here as a member. I speak here in my personal capacity. And I've also launched what I call my campaign against corruption and pessimism.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm so tired of the negative. I am so sick of the people who sit and complain. I am so annoyed with those losers who use racism as a means to an end. And I suddenly thought, you know, there are more people outside Parliament than inside Parliament. In other words, let us make the parliamentarians realize that we also want to be heard. So my campaign was called Commit Your Selfie. That was also the hashtag, Commit Your Selfie, which means you take a selfie of yourself, which is never easy because your arm is always too short and your nose always ends up
too
long. It's
a terrible angle, I agree
terrible.
With you, yes.
And then you have a piece of paper on which you have written what you want that money spent on. You know, we're saying pay back the money.
Mm.
Yes, I agree, but where does that money go? Education, health, homes, every single aspect of what people worry about. And you know, we've had thousands of selfies coming in, and the most extraordinary people who have said, from Charlize Theron to politicians who have joined this this Commit Your Selfie, to actually say to politicians, you know, in a healthy democracy, the people lead and the government must follow. And so with the opening of Parliament, I just hope they keep in mind that we also have our anthem, which Karen Zoid wrote a beautiful anthem, and I wrote the lyrics, the words, and it is available on YouTube. So everybody who listens must go into YouTube, look for A Song for Tomorrow, and that is our anthem, and that will go viral within the next 24 hours.
Tani, you've become an activist, and you are making use of this great technology, social networking, and I have to ask you, what is this experience like for you at this stage of your career?
You know, I'm not an activist, Meliva Arda. I'm a grandmother.
Yes, but I mean, what you're doing is you're activating change.
No, but you know, grandparents can be the most powerful influence in the lives of children, because we don't have to be polite.
Mm.
You know, parents and children can't talk to each other anymore. That's always been a problem. But we grandparents can gang up with our grandchildren against their parents.
True.
And then we can get our grandchildren to tell us what the problem is. We won't understand what they're talking about, but at least they'll have us to talk to. Otherwise, they're going to the street and talk to the drug lord.
Mm.
And as a grandparent, I'm concerned that my grandchildren are nervous about the future. They say that the democracy will not be there when they needed to vote one day. They are the born frees. They have no background of apartheid. They really don't blame apartheid for anything, because they don't know what it was. And I am... Activist is a very important thing. I respect all the activists in this country and abroad. But Machis Meskat, I'm just somebody who looks into my grandchildren's faces and I see their excitement for the future. And I just think, well, I have the experience to find out what can go wrong, and that's why I joined the ANC, because Barack Obama said to us, yes, you can, yes, we can. I want to tell them in the ANC, be careful, no, you can't.
I'm watching.
Absolutely.
I'm watching. I love this Commit Your Selfie campaign, Taniyavita. I really, really do. And I think that the listeners right now should really think about getting that piece of paper, because, as you say, whinging and moaning, it's falling on deaf ears, and it's not good. It's not good to be in that constant negative state. No, so here's an opportunity to do something about it.
And also, the many people who are not yet on internet or on the Twitter, they mustn't feel scared. You've all got a cell phone. Take your little camera. Take your photograph, send it to EvitaSelfie, one word, EvitaSelfie@gmail.com. And then we are going to just flood the country with what is a quilt of concern and compassion, looking after the future of our children.
I love that. Okay, so you're going to take a picture, you're going to write down on that little piece of paper, and you're going to email that picture to EvitaSelfie@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So Evita, the song, A Song for Tomorrow, I've watched it, I loved it. As you said, Karen Zoid came to the party. You got a whole lot of South African artists. When you asked them to do it, how did they feel about it? Are they as passionate about the future of South Africa as you are?
Do you know, it's the most wonderful story. We didn't have any conference calls. We had no meetings. I sat with Karen for 10 minutes, and then I went back to her the next day for another 20 minutes, and then I saw her again yesterday. So that means in the 10 days that passed in between, we talk on the phone. But she got on with the song, and I got on with the campaign. And you know that everybody who was involved with the song did it for free. The studios were for free. The cameras were for free. The artists, every single person said they want to pay back their money, in other words, their energy and their time, to the future of this country. And so pay back the money doesn't just mean the little rondavels in KwaZulu-Natal. Pay back the money means we have education. We have education of experience. We were privileged for all those years. It's time for us to also pay back and give for the future.
So Taniyavita, should we say that this is your Valentine gift to South Africa during the month of February?
That's such a lovely thing to say. Yes, the song is my Valentine song, and this is my Valentine, my love letter to my beautiful country.
Oh, Taniyavita, thank you for joining us. It is always a joy to have you on the show. And, you know, just keep everyone in order. Make sure it all happens and runs smoothly. The state of the nation is important, and we know what a pivotal role you play. So thank you for taking time out of, you know, it's very busy, and sharing the time with us.
Well, thank you, and let's look forward to tonight.
Thanks, Tani. Bye-bye. Tani Evita Bezuidenhout, she is just wonderful, and not only is she very busy today because of the State of the Nation address, but she's busy writing anthems, and she's getting the selfie campaign together. So you can visit my website, www.conversationswithnikki.co.za, and the podcast will be there, or you can go to the Facebook page, which is Conversations with Nikki. All the information on how to get involved in the Commit Your Selfie campaign will be there. But you know what? Tani Evita said that this is her gift to you. It is her Valentine's gift. As we said, February is the month of love and relationships. And here it is, Tani Evita.
Jou kombers en my matras.
Bring back the trains, bring back the planes. for some of your financial gain. Song for tomorrow, song for tomorrow. Today, 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 today. Today, today, today. Song for tomorrow, song for tomorrow. Today, 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 today. Today, today, today.
The poorer, poorer than before.
The rich say sorry while they're taking more.
This nightmare will be a sweet dream.
Some for tomorrow, some for tomorrow.
Yes.
One of us can start. Don't wait for government. They don't have time to be nice.
Yes.
They have to be a government. But we, the citizens, have time to be nice.
And that's Tanya Vita Bezegnet. We have to be nice. And that is the song, A Song for Tomorrow. Go onto YouTube and see it. And, you know, I think Tanya Bezegnet said something which is so relevant, because we are really living in a world of technology, and everything is YouTube and WhatsApping and Twitter and Facebook. And perhaps you're listening and you are using this technology and it's fantastic, and maybe you're not and you feel like you're being left behind. Don't, because, I mean, look, there is Tani Bezegnet, and she has launched this brilliant Commit Your Selfie campaign. And maybe a few years ago she thought she wouldn't be a part of Twitter, and now she is a part of Twitter. So don't let that hold you back. And on that note, I'm just going to remind you to visit the Facebook page, because every week when we do have the podcast, if you do like the Facebook page, you will be sent notification of those podcasts. So the Facebook page is Conversations with Nikki. So just go onto Facebook, type in Conversations with Nikki, the face will come up, the page will come up, and just like it, and then you will continually get those Podomatics. You also can follow us on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is @Seberini, and that is spelled S-E-B-E-R-I-N-I. Now, I'm not sure if you watch Idols, if you enjoy Idols. We're about to go through the 11th season. We've seen incredible careers being launched, and it's really entertaining finding this fresh talent that perhaps no one had yet seen, and just bringing that talent to the fore so South Africa and the world can enjoy it. I mean, it's a great franchise, and it's doing incredibly well globally. So I am going to have the 2013 Idols winner in the show. We are waiting for Musa Sukwene, and I'm really hoping that Musa, besides telling us a little bit about his life and maybe how he's celebrating Valentine's Day, perhaps he can sing a song on air, which will be great. So just to get us into the spirit of love, do you remember the days before stimulating TV where everything was just there at the touch of a button. I mean, there were times when people wrote magnificent poetry and they wrote these wonderful novels, and they still do. And they're there to be enjoyed. And I came across this poem, and I just thought, just to really get us in the mood for love and Valentine's Day, this is one of my favorite poems. It was written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And she wrote this poem to her husband, Robert Browning. And it is so incredibly beautiful. And I'm going to read it to you. And I hope that you're going to be inspired, because even though Valentine's Day is a very commercialized event, I'm just going to put it to you for a moment. If you are in some type of relationship, and I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic relationship. Maybe it's just a great friendship. There's a friend out there who's just been very good to you. Maybe it's a relationship within a family, a brother, sister, a mother or father, child. I think we should be celebrating and looking at all relationships and all aspects of love. And I really, really think that it's so easy, and I say this very often, to find the bad news and to feel negative about the world. And sometimes we have to look at those little gifts. So although Valentine's Day is a commercialized day, and you could go and spend 300 rand on a bunch of roses because they double in price on the day, you don't necessarily have to get sucked into the commercialized side of it. And you can just see it as a day to tell the people that you love them, and to do something special. Let's look for the pockets, and let's look for the moments when we can actually make for enjoyable, lovely times. And I think that's really the message I want to put out there. So going back to this poem, and as I said, I want to say the poem just to get you into a little bit of a mood. And excuse me, I'm going to try my very best. And it's called How Do I Love Thee? And she says, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach, when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely, as men might strive for right. I love thee purely, as they turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And, if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death." A beautiful, beautiful poem. So maybe you're in a relationship, and maybe you have been married for a long time, or maybe not. But Captain Antonelli will certainly tell us how love can keep us together. Here for you on Conversations with Nikki. And that was Captain and Tennille. And love will keep us together. Well, if anything will keep you together, I suppose it has to be love. And we are talking about love. As I said, it's love, it's politics, it's entertainment. It's all happening in the month of February. And I was looking at a couple of famous couples who had these very passionate love affairs. Like we're looking at Cleopatra and Mark Antony. I mean, how was that love affair? And what was so special about their love? Because their love was so strong that war was waged against them to break them up. I mean, we thought Romeo and Juliet had a hard time. But I mean, these two definitely, Antony and Cleopatra. And Mark Antony had left his wife, Octavia, for this mesmerizingly beautiful Cleopatra, or so we're told. She was magnificent. And Octavia's brother, Octavian, was so angry that he brought the army of Rome to destroy them. And these lovers were so entranced with each other that they committed suicide rather than be apart. And it really is the ultimate Romeo and Juliet story. And I wonder if that's just an old-fashioned way of loving. I don't know, in the world we live in today, with things being so transient and things changing so quickly, I wonder. But we decided to invite a couple in who, you know, they've been together for a long time. They've got a lovely, lovely story. And I'm hoping you are going to be inspired. Because we know their famous son. And I suppose when you have a famous son, you are always going to be attached to the name. So it's Danny Kaye. And we had Danny Kaye in the studio. In fact, we had him in the studio, I think it was a couple of weeks or even days before he became a father. And so there are wonderful things happening in this family. I know there's been another grandchild. And so these grandparents who have been together for over 40 years have got a true love story to share. So I would like to welcome Gavin and Pam Koppel. And Gavin, take your hands away from her neck. I thought you made friends before you came into the studio.
Guys, I'm sorry to blow this bubble. We're announcing our separation on air.
And we know Cleopatra and...
No, we know Billy Gundelfinger. Never mind. It's all lies, I tell you.
Oh, no. Not we know.
So, Pam, yes. You know, I've worked with Gavin before.
Mm.
And I know Danny as well. And I'm so happy to have the incredible brains and beauty behind everything.
Thank you.
Hey,
Nikki.
This is, I can see this flattery. Is the powerhouse.
That's right.
Okay,
it likes to stay in the background.
So, Pam, you've been together for, is it over 40 years?
Married for 40 years this year, but we dated for 7 years prior, so 47 years.
7 years. All right, so let's ask. You know, I shouldn't then ask. I don't know how sensitive you are about the world knowing your age. But you were young. You were little spring chickens, really, when you met
14,
one another.
You were 10. So we were child brides.
I was 16 and he was 17.
And you met on a blind date or a double date?
Double date, yes.
Yes.
But each were with their good friends. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his friend was my date and my friend was his date. But,
so what happened? Was it over? What was it over a Greek salad that you realized you needed to swap?
No, well, I liked, you know, when I saw her, you know, I was that immediate physical attraction thing, and then when I got speaking to her, then I really like connected with her, and it wasn't an intentional thing, but I just like clicked with her and followed it up as you would do, you know, if you like somebody, and phoned her and hounded her. Until she relented and gave me my break, eh? Is that right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to continue. We're talking love, relationships, entertainment, politics on Conversations with Nikki.
The countdown to the annual Cancer Shave-a-thon has begun. Get down to a shopping center on 28 February and show your support for a cancer survivor. Host a shave-a-thon at your workplace or school from 2 to 6 March. If you have a special story about why you'll be shaving, spraying or donating to the cause, we'd love for you to share it with us on shaveathon.org.za. Register now on shaveathon.org.za or call cancer toll-free on 0800 226622.
Well, welcome back. This is Conversations with Nikki. If you have just tuned in, it is lovely to be with you. It's great to welcome our syndication partner listeners. That's Radio Today in Johannesburg, Eldo's FM, Bay FM in PE, MC 90.3 in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Wild Coast FM in East London, Timmining Stereo 89.1 in the Northern Cape, and Cowie FM. And this is the show where we keep you entertained, informed, and inspired. How, I mean, is it easy to be connected to someone for 47 years?
I think it's, the answer that I could give you is, it's bliss. Mm. It's like a bed of roses, like when you walk through to your studio. But it's not, I think very difficult marriage because there's so many distractions and you have to live your own life and your partner has to live her own life. And sometimes never the two shall meet, because you're just so engrossed with what you're doing. A man may be building a business, your wife may be building the home, and sometimes it's quite difficult.
Challenging.
Yeah, it's challenging. So what I think is, I can only lean on that thing that you say when your vows, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer. That is such a wonderful kind of concept because it just defines exactly what you're about and what your marriage is about. So if I had to lean on anything, I'd have to say that really is one of those are the values that you have to kind of stick to in your marriage.
Mm. I like those. And one has to be realistic.
Very.
One has to, Pam, absolutely. I mean, the honeymoon phase does come to an end eventually.
Very
and
quickly.
And where the snoring didn't matter, all of a sudden... you don't?
No.
Doesn't he snore?
He
one
doesn't.
One of the few males. Don't tell too many people. It's a buy-in point that you know
he
that.
Actually doesn't sleep, so when he does snore on the very odd occasion, I'm so excited, I love it. That means I can change the TV channel.
So for you, I mean, again, 47 years to be involved, it's young love, and young love is something that's very unique because you are growing and you're finding yourself as a person. And I suppose that's more challenging as well. There are more challenges because you are growing and your needs are changing and you're finding a way of meshing the two individuals in that relationship all the time.
True, but I think for Gavin and I, what the success is, that our values and our morals are, we never disagree on those things. So I think that helps a lot because we both think the same way, we both believe in the same things, and that's like a foundation.
That makes all the difference. We were talking about February being the month of love, and it's also the month of politics because we know that is the State of the Nation address. Everybody is going to be watching, listening. Will the EFF, boring, says Gavin, will the EFF be arriving in the birthday suits? Will they be wearing their overalls? We're not sure, but red may be the theme because red is the color for love.
And, it could be, but the thing is, you've got such a pure subject in love, Nick. Why are you bringing in politics? It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Because politics is the biggest lie. I mean, really? What politician, except for Madiba, and he really wasn't a politician. He was something special.
Mm.
But if you look at those guys, I don't know if they've really got love in their hearts. Sorry to be a cynic.
No. So that's Gavin Coppel. We've got Gavin Coppel and Pam Coppel. Yeah, but Gav, I often read what you write on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
And you are the only one who is enlightening and uplifting.
Because I believe in the power of the people. I think that we have got so much more power than we actually know of. I think if our attitudes and our actions can match the sentiments we have for this country, we are the change agents. We are the guys who will make, we rainmakers. So I've always believed in the people on the ground to kind of do that rather than some person in a suit that is using that platform for their political capital, So I've always believed in you. I've believed in us, I believe a better me for a greater we. Mm. That's always been my philosophy.
Mm. Pam, has he always been like that?
Always.
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 Just now the confidence just, to stand up.
The difference is that now he can be this journalist he always wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because he's got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and
given him a voice.
And everything else. I don't know.
But I believe given in him the people voice. Of our country. Mm. From, like your radio goes out to from Cowie to Bryanston to KwaZulu-Natal. There are such gems in our country. Mm. And I think to a large degree, we only kind of focus on those that are controversial, who want to bring us down, who want to shout. I mean, whatever your views are of the president, you have to respect that the presidency, he needs to deliver his speech. He needs to have a platform for the nation to know what he wants to do. What, you know, what is his vision for all of us? So please don't interrupt him. You can disagree with him. You'll have your opportunity. But allow the president some opportunity to tell us where he's going.
And so you're talking about dignity, respect, yes, and not undermining
him. And decorum him tonight. I really want, because the world will be watching that. You know, let's understand that we're all South Africans. Even if you're from different political spheres or you grew up in different circumstances, the end of the day, what binds us is our love of this country.
Mm.
You know.
Did you hear Tani Evita's song?
Oh no, I haven't heard.
Oh, she's penned a marvelous oh, really? Anthem. We played a little bit earlier.
She's a great South African.
She's a great South African.
And she pokes fun at us and she gets us down to who we really are.
We love,
strips us down, you know.
We love Tani Evita. Yeah. We really do. And we're going to continue with this love story. Don't think we're not talking about love, because we are. But our other guest has come in, which we're rather delighted about. And that is Musa Sukwene. How's it, Musa? How are you doing? And welcome to Conversations with Nikki.
I'm very well, Nikki.
The man
Thank
with
you for
the
having
gold
me.
Golden voice. That's actually, we can't describe your voice as golden. We can't. It's just this beautiful, beautiful voice.
Thank
I don't think
you.
Golden quite covers it.
Yeah.
Really. So how have you been since Idols?
I have been wonderful. Hey, I've been having a good time. I've been traveling quite a lot. I've been doing quite a number of things, meeting up with new people from all over the world. So I've been having a great time.
So it was the 9th season,
yeah.
Idols. And you thought, I know that you had been working with your dad before. Was it in construction?
Yes, it was. We were running
you
a construction business.
You were born in Witbank? Is
yeah.
that where you're from? Okay.
Yeah, from
And
Bank.
Did you always love singing? Did people tell you from a young age that you had this incredible voice?
I've always loved singing. Like, singing has always been my second nature. There's nothing else I've actually ever thought of doing other than singing. So I couldn't live my life without it.
And did you go for formal training?
I went for formal training for a while and then I quit because I was born dyslexic. So half the time being in class was like the worst thing for me. So I would rather sit around and play with numbers and sing instead of being in a classroom.
Because it was during your audition that Randall said, I love it when I have raw talent, and I'm probably going to say it completely wrong, something about raw talent that sounds so good that we can then work with.
Yeah.
And when he said that to you, I mean, did you think, wow, well, maybe there is a possibility? I mean, when you entered the room, did you have this vision of winning Idols, or did you just think, oh, I'll just...
When I actually entered Idols, my whole idea was just to go and discover what happens on the other side of life, the TV side, the production side. In my mind, it had nothing to do with me becoming an idol, to be quite honest. I was just there to explore and see what happens. Until I actually started walking the journey, and I was like, okay, now I need to start gearing up. I can't think of it in that manner anymore.
Did you think that you would get more out of Idols? Because Idols, at the end of the day, is just a show.
Mm.
And I think people have this misconception that once you've won Idols, you have this incredible career laid out for you.
Yeah.
But you don't.
No,
it's a show. And it's a platform. It's a great platform.
It's a very great platform.
For people
a lot of things happen to you. You know, there are certain things that you get from Idols that you'd never get, that an ordinary musician who is a recorded artist who is selling would never have. Like, you get publicity, you're on TV for 4 months almost every day. That's publicity that no one could ever give to you. You can't even pay for that. It's too costly for anyone to do. So you get things that people really have to work hard for. Like, they really have to work hard to get there. And they're given to you on a silver platter. It's how you use it after that matters.
Well, having Gavin Coppel, because Gavin's moved away from the microphone, but by no means are we finished with you, Gavin and Pam. So, Gavin, I mean, you have been in the entertainment industry for many, many years. Danny is, I mean, he's just a singing sensation. And you look at a show like Idols, and as I said, that's all it is. It's a show. But as Musa said, it's a great, great platform.
Absolutely.
The challenge, I suppose, is what you do then with that.
Yeah.
I go back to my question. Are you disappointed with what happened afterwards, or did you just think, wow?
I'm not disappointed at all. Like, I gained so much experience in the Idols that I managed to become me and find a way of working around me, because I grew up in a world of business. So I just took that, and there were so many offspins from it that made my life even more better. Like, it took me now I'm running my own production company. Almost every show I do now is owned by me. So,
great.
So like that's how far it's taken me. Something that I couldn't do before. Yes, I had the finances then, but I couldn't do it because the publicity was not enough. And now I'm in a space where I can do anything.
Gee whiz. Gavin, when Danny launched his career, I mean, we didn't have anything like reality shows or anything like that. Would you have seen that as a great platform for Danny?
Absolutely. Musa says it 100% correct. You just don't have the money to buy that publicity. And, if, you know, I'm a big fan of the franchise. I think the franchise is great. I sometimes worry that there's a harshness that the judges mete out to the contestants that can either break them, you know. But if you really look at the harshness of this business after Idols, please believe me, it gets worse. You know, you kind of, you kind of here today, gone tomorrow. Yeah. And you really have to have a resilience, and you have to have, like Musa's got, a business mind. You have to be business minded. You have to protect your brand equity. You have to pick your gigs, you know. You don't want to be every Friday night at this venue and that venue. So you kind of manage your own processing because you want a long-term career over here. You don't want to be a bright, shining star and then, boom, you know, go out as quick as you came in. So I think, and many of the idols, I look at one of the idols who I've really admired, his tenacity and his career path, which has been Heinz Winkler. You know, Heinz is really taken care of himself, you know. And I think Musa's got that same conceptual ability that he's not here just for the flash in the pan. I know you've got a show, I think, at the Market.
The Market Theatre.
Yeah, you see, I'm up with your career.
He's stalking you.
So he's one of those guys that is picking his spots. He understands that this business could be a little bit choppy. So, yeah, I admire this young man. And he's an incredible talent. I mean, when I saw him on Idols, and there was no worthier winner than Musa.
Well, Musa, I hope you've warmed your vocal cords and you're going to sing a song for us just now.
Yeah, we just thought
we'd just throw that at. That'll be your Valentine's gift to the listeners. How's that? Because, you know, we are talking about Valentine's Day. So, Pam, let me ask you. Because having a son who's talented and now he's entering this world of entertainment where we know, I mean, Gavin just said it, it's up and down. It's not like going and becoming a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is and having this fantastic practice. It can be volatile. How did you feel? I mean, were you very supportive from word go? Because as I said, you are the powerhouse behind it all.
You know, the powerhouse came later because music, I was never a big fan of music. Gavin was. And in the beginning, he was the one there, you know, supporting Danny, encouraging him, and I kind of kept very quiet. But you know what? I would never have discouraged him. Never. I didn't discourage him, but I also didn't encourage him too much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Gavin did that in the beginning. When I really saw taking off, then I thought, no, you know what? This is his dream. You know, I must, like, step in and, you know, support him. And, you know, that's when I realized that this wasn't going away. He was serious about it. And yeah.
And you were happy. You were happy that he found something that he loved.
I'm only happy when my children are happy.
Oh, I like that. That's only too true.
And she does an amazing job as the management. You know, they call her the momager, or they call her Mama K. But she does an incredible job in terms of all those things that an artist needs. An artist needs a lot of backup. Am I right, Musa?
True.
He needs a lot of support, but that's a very frivolous business. You know, you're here today and you can be gone tomorrow. So when Danny, when I look at his career, he's still standing after like 12 years. It's a huge achievement, and he's still busy, and he's still, you know, out there, and he's making new music, and he's got the Shout Foundation going, you know, to fight crime, and just incredible how music he's. You know, and this is what I say to the kids. If you can leverage your celebrity to do good, that's the big thing about it. You know, leverage it to raise money, awareness, etc. And, you know, because you don't know what's coming, you know. You're in the hands of the Almighty.
We absolutely don't know. Musa, are you finding that celebrity, you're able to use this brand that is Musa to stand up for causes that you feel strongly about?
Quite. Like, I actually start most of my initiatives. I come up with quite a number of them, and I'm working on quite a number of them because I come from Witbank, Emalahleni, which has been known to be a very dirty city, and it's very polluted. because of the mines and everything else. So I started a campaign called Clean My City. It's where I bring down everyone who is everyone, from the youth to the elders, that if we can't take care of where we are, because the pollution is not going to move anytime soon, because they're going to continue digging, we must just clean where we are. So I've been doing that, and I'm trying to motivate children, dyslexic children, to try and discover what they love the most as a part of life, because you're not necessarily at the end of your life when you can't read and write. There's so many other things that are part of you.
You're
because
the
you
example.
Are given talent
right.
that you could actually work with. So that's what I've faced myself to do now.
And your parents, how supportive were they?
My parents were very supportive from the beginning. Like, they've always been a part of me. My dad he's one guy, when I first said, I can't continue with going to school anymore, I just want to sing now, he's like, okay, sing.
Sure.
Start singing now. Let me hear you sing before you actually go out there.
Okay.
Let me be the one who decides that.
That was worse than auditioning for Randall,
yeah,
hey?
Because I wasn't even ready for that answer. Okay, what does this guy say? He's like, no, sing for me. Like, if you have enough confidence, when I say just sing, and you can just burst out a song without having to reason about it, you are ready to do anything else, because that's what's going to happen as a part of your life. If you want to be a singer, people are just going to ask you to sing, and you cannot now be standing there like, oh, I can't do it, I'm very shy. So he taught me, he gave me enough confidence to say, just do it. If that's what you want to do, don't think about it anymore, just do it.
So overcoming the shyness, because it's one thing having a good voice, it's another thing putting it out there for other people to hear. Was that something you really had to work on?
I had to work on quite a lot, because I'm a
you'd
very
never know
person.
I mean, watching you'd never know that.
Yeah, because I'm a very private person. I don't usually, you know, I only talk in small spaces, and then the minute you give me a lot of people, I kind of jump around for a while, like, oh, okay, I can't do this. But then I got used to the idea of living around people, of living around crowds, and my dad was always there to say, I actually got you a gig. You know, my first gig, my dad gave
your
it to
dad?
Me.
Your dad? What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was a wedding. It's like, I actually got you a gig. They were talking about this guy getting married, and I said, you're going to come and sing. So I was like, so they didn't ask you to say, I was kind of just like, no, I said you were going to come and sing, because that's what you said you do. You told me that's what you do.
Yes.
So I told them.
And he now wanted to promote you.
Yeah, so now I get to this gig, now I'm supposed to start singing. And everyone got happy, and he was like, you see, so you can go do it. Go do it.
Wow. I love that story. Yeah. Did you get paid?
No, I didn't get paid for that.
Did you have a microphone?
Yeah, actually, I had a microphone. I found it there. And then my dad bought me a microphone, like, because he didn't even know what they were. He just found a microphone at, like, a Cash Crusaders.
Yes.
And I was like, here's a mic.
And that was that?
Yeah, and I looked at this mic. It was a Shure A150.
Your first mic?
Yeah, Shure A150. I was like, okay, I just have a mic. That's all I was excited about. Until I started learning more about mics, I was like, okay, but this is not a problem.
It was good. It was good to start off.
Yeah.
But now we'll frame it and put it on the wall.
Yeah.
And when you won, because your dad auditioned you and he got you your first job.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that?
He was so excited.
Describe that.
Like, he was so excited. Like, I think till today, he can't get over it. He can't get over the idea of knowing that I had a dream that I wanted to fulfill, and he managed to give me my first start. So I think every day he wakes up with that thing in his mind of saying that he would love to do it for someone else again, because he can't stop now. He's auditioning people all over the place. Yeah, he feels like a talent scout now. He's like, okay, I found that one. Now I need to look for more. So it's like,
I love that.
Yeah, so it's like he still calls me sometimes just to say thank you, and I don't even get it why. And it's like, I made him proud. He got to a point in his life where he didn't have to worry about me anymore.
Oh, gee whiz. That resonates on many levels. That's great. I love that.
It's quite amazing.
So, not that I want to stick with idols for too long, but I mean, would you say that it was a brilliant kind of life-changing? Did you meet great people and get good ideas? Is it something that you look back on and think, oh, or was it just...
It's one of those things as a part of my life, when I sit down and look back, I'm grateful for, and I'll do it again any other time. You know what I mean? And it took me a while to go on Idols. Like, people have been saying, Moso, why don't you go on Idols? I was like, nah, it's not for me. Because I was happy doing all these restaurant gigs, you know. And as a musician, sometimes you get comfortable in that small space of intimacy that you are afraid. I think I was more of afraid of bursting out into the world and seeing other things. So when I got there, I learned so many things, you know. It taught me so many things that I don't think I'd ever know if I didn't go that route. it exposed me to a number of artists that I thought I'd never meet in my life. Now I know how production works. I know what it means to be on TV, how it works, because of Idols, you know. So I actually encourage people sometimes, like, you need to go and do this. Mm. Doesn't matter how good you are or how big you see yourself as an artist. Just go through it.
Great lessons.
It's very great lessons.
So Feb is the month of love. Mm-hmm. Is there love in your life?
Oh, man, not at this point, eh?
Oh, you're too busy. So Valentine's Day, are you not going to be serenading anybody with that magnificent voice of yours?
No.
No? You can serenade the audience. How's that?
You know, I'll deal with I'm going to talk to
Gavin and Pam for a few more minutes, and you can prepare a lovely serenade, okay. A Valentine's serenade. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Pam, let's talk love. Gavin, come back to the microphone. He can multitask.
Yeah.
Hey, he does multitask.
I do.
I'm very impressed. So let's talk about this. Having children.
Yeah.
Brings a whole different set of challenges. It's a lovely new stage of your life. How do you keep the romance alive? For those people who are listening right now, who are too busy. Isn't it launching tonight? Isn't the opening tonight 50 Shades of Grey? Did you read it, Pam?
I tried to.
But?
I must be honest. Maybe I'm the only person in the world. I actually couldn't get past about the 10th page.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was
your husband is so good. Your husband's so good. You didn't need any of those naughty little novels. Hey?
Bugger Mr. Grey, I'm in town.
So really, how do you keep the romance alive? When children were around.
What did you say, the romance?
The romance and the passion and the...
That. There's no more romance, it's friendship. This bird romance is good when you're 20s, 30s, 40s. But then you become good. But she's my best friend. That's the bottom line. I love her. We do things together. We went to Mauritius late last year, right? Mm. There were days where we sat. Okay, Solly. There were days where we sat, and we would say nothing, but we said everything. You know what I'm saying?
I like that comfort of silence.
We were not uncomfortable in each other's presence, and we connect on a very. Without getting all soppy and reaching for Kleenex, we connect on a very like soulful level. Mm. You know what I mean? We don't really, you know, I don't need to bring home flowers, and she knows I love her. I don't need to, you know, have a date night. Every night's a date night for me. She's the best cook in town. I'm not going out.
You'd like him to cook, hey? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, she's such an accomplished mom and an incredible supportive wife. You know, you're going to have ups and downs in your life. But when you look back, as we kind of reflect back, is that when I look back, I could never have chosen a better partner. I could never have chosen a better partner because it's that thing, you know, what they say to you when you get married, in sickness and in health, rich or poor. It's so true. You know, those are very wise words. I don't know who came up with them, but they really do capture the essence of marriage, you know. Do you have fights? Absolutely. Do we disagree? Absolutely. But it's kind of like, notwithstanding that, you never lose your underlying love for one another. But that does it. Travel on a smooth sea? Not at all. There's a lot of high waves and you have to navigate through. But I'm speaking too much now, Nikki.
No, I like that. You know, I was just thinking about a movie I saw, and Susan Sarandon said that we get married, and it just stuck with me, because you want someone to witness your life.
Yeah.
It's someone to go on this incredible journey with, and to witness
absolutely.
Your life.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the life offers all sorts of things.
You want somebody absolutely. To nudge and say, hey, look at that together, you know. You want somebody like that. And honestly, I'm all for this. I don't like Valentine's Day, and I'll tell you why. Let me put it out there.
Please.
Because it's a commercial. It's trying to get money out of our pockets. It really is. It's a commercial holiday, and it's done to boost the retail industry. You shouldn't have one day to do that. If you're going to love somebody, it's hard. It's darn hard work. You've really got to work at it. You've got to be compromising.
Don't walk away from the discomfort or the whatever.
And what worries me about today's youngsters is that they just hit a bump in the road and, okay, now we're going to go see the lawyers. You don't want, you know, I fear for this world if we're going to be that way. Mm. Because what we lost a child. I mean, there's no worse thing that can happen in your life. But instead of pulling us away, it brought us together because we realized what we meant to one another, you know. And that's what I think the younger people must understand, is that don't take the exit on the highway of life when you because you're going through a hard time. You know, don't be unhappy, but try and work it out. And I today like there's great things. Resources, you know, there's psychologists and I don't know, the therapists and, you know.
Dr. Koppel.
Dr. D and Dr. V and Dr. S.
Thanks, Gav. I think you're right. I think you are so
Can I put
right.
my soapbox away now?
I think just make sure I quite like that. Musa wants to stand on it, if you don't mind. Yeah. He's going to be serenading all of us, glorious voice. What are you going to be singing? Don't get too comfortable. You need to come closer now. You're going to be singing for us. You never know, your prospective other half could be listening right now. You could be serenading that person without realizing it. I just thought I'd put it out there.
Ah, I'm not gonna say this.
Uh-oh.
It's in my mind. let me see what song I can do. I see us in the park, strolling the summer days. A few imaginings in my head, and words from my heart, tolling into the wind, they drifted away like the sand. And I don't want to bore you with my troubles, yay, but there's something about your love that makes me weak and it knocks me off my feet. There's something about your love. Oh, oh, that makes me weak and it knocks me off my feet. And I don't want to bore you with this. Oh, but I love you. I love you. I love you. And I don't want to bore you with this. Oh, but I love you, I love you, I love you more and more.
Musa Sekwene, that was stunning. Thank you. Person out there heard those words. And you know, Gav, even if we are looking at a commercialized day, it does give us an opportunity, though, to see the other, whoever the other is in our life. Yes. And to see them with renewed eyes, even if it is just for 10 seconds.
Okay.
And just to say... I love you. Okay, so politics, we had to bring it in because we have the State of the Nation. It is exciting. We're waiting to see. It's love. It's entertainment. So thank you, Gavin.
No, Pam, thank you.
Musa, thank you. It's been lovely
and
having
Nikki,
you on
I love
the show.
You,
no, but I love you, Gavin.
I love you.
And thank you so much for tuning in. It has been great. Have a wonderful remainder.
Go and buy tickets for this young man show.
Yes,
Musa.
Joburg. Yes.
Yeah, man show.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you. Thank you, Gavin. You need to teach me a thing or two.
Market Theatre.
Tomorrow evening. I'm doing a live performance. It's me and Bongi on stage. Last year's runner up. We're just celebrating a night of love, man, you know.
Yeah.
A night of love.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Before
it's
the day of love.
Yeah.
Musa, thank you.
Apparently it's a month of love, right?
Yes, yeah. It is a month. Yeah. Exactly.
Where do I follow you on Facebook and Twitter?
You can find me. See?
Quickly, we're ending the show. Yes.
You can find me on Instagram at Musa the Voice. Twitter is at Musa the Voice.
Or you could just go to the Facebook page and everything's going to be there. Until next week, take care. Ciao. Conversations with Nikki was brought to you by studyapps.co.za, South Africa's leading education app for tablets.